Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The Browns have quit, and so have I.
Oh, you don't mean that,
Kenny.
Oh,
yes, I do.
More games to evaluate.
Yes, I do. No, no.
More games to evaluate.
No, the Browns have quit, and so have I.
You haven't put the vaunted notebook away, have you?
The Browns have quit, and so have I.
When did you stop taking notes?
Third quarter, because I'm an idiot. Third quarter? If I left those effing notes at home, the Browns have quit, and so have I. I'm done.
I mean,
I'm done taking notes. I'm gonna put together things. I don't know what I'm gonna do during these last three games. I plan to go to one of them. That's gonna be stupid.
It's got to be Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. What do you think? I ain't going to go to the Bills game. I sure as hell ain't going to go to the Bengals game. There we go.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a wandering eye.
I sat and watched the whole thing.
About 5 minutes left in the third because the Patriots game, the Patriots were blowing their lead to Buffalo.
No, I watched the whole thing.
And of course, I had to scout the Bills, Kenny. I had to make sure.
Not once did I think there was a chance they would come back.
No.
And Axel was sitting there. It was 14-0, and Axel goes, gosh, it feels like it's 28-0.
Yes.
I go, just hang around. I'm sure it will be.
You were right. It was as lopsided a halftime as I've ever seen and only be two scores. Because of what Ben Johnson was running a joint practice with the plays he was calling.
So
he's like, oh, third and one at my own 14. We got to throw deep. Fourth and one. Well, he did on second and third. And then I'm like, are they going to go for it at fourth? No, they just punted. I'm like, oh, they're just running their plays. They're just running their plays to get ready for the rest of the season because they don't think the Browns offense will ever score.
So this is why I say I quit. Let me define the Browns have quit and so have I. You could tell from the very beginning this was a chore for them. They didn't want to be there.
The tackling. That's what I noticed.
It's everything. And they thought, you know what? If you guys aren't going to decide on it, we're going to decide on it. And from the opening kickoff, that was a 52-yard return, and I'm just thinking it's normal and it's expected at this point because we're not smart. We're not incredibly tough. I mean, there's a couple of guys that are tough, so I get whatever. We're not smart, and we're certainly not accountable. And I try to hang out and fight the good fight, but if they're going to quit, then so am I. And I mean on this as they are. On this season as they are. So, I mean, I'll sit there and I'll watch them because it's what I'm supposed to do. But there's no, I'm not wasting my effort and my time. Notes are done. Note time is done. I'm not doing any of it because they ain't going to do nothing for the rest of this year, guys. That's it. I mean, that's really it. They've quit. They laid down. That was the end of it. And I'm going to get to this here in a second. I know what you guys all want for the head coach. I want you to read between the lines. You will hear nothing to the contrary from me on the matter at all.
Well, he's getting
They'll
fired.
Make their decision when they make their decision.
There's no decision. He's
I
getting
just
fired.
Don't want to say it. You go ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm not arguing. I want everybody to understand completely. If you say you want him gone and you say you want them gone, you'll get no argument to the contrary. There will be none. So take that for what it's worth. Because here we are. And it's a quitting moment. It's a moment I've seen before, but it still isn't a moment I've seen before because I don't understand. And remember, I'm not even mad. Like, why get mad over a team that's quit? I'm not going to get mad over them quitting.
You've matched my level of animus now.
I'm not mad. I just want to be very clear about what I think I saw yesterday where I have three different reports about the quarterback's wristband. I have three different thoughts on the quarterback's wristband. First one was Allison Williams. This is on Fox. Here's the initial report about Shador's wristband.
Worth noting with Cleveland's offense struggling just operationally to start this game. Prior to this possession, when Shador was on the sideline, he actually came over. They removed the wristband with the play calls in there, and they made a change to one of the sheets and some tweaks, some changes with that wristband that he wears with the play call. So that could have been part of the issues they had early.
So did he have the wrong wristband, or did they have the wrong things in there, or did they say, no, we got to scrap this and that's the end of it? What is it?
I was thoroughly confused. Now, the internet ran wild with he had the incorrect play calls. Where did people get that from? Because she didn't say that in the report.
Well, she said they had to change some things out. So here's, we got Kevin here who has asked the question, and here's Kevin's answer.
Early on, was there something wrong with Sanders' wristband?
Yeah, there was a miscommunication early.
They mentioned that you guys had the wrong plays in the wristband on the first two drives. Is that accurate?
No. Yeah. Yeah. There was something. Yeah. I don't know if the wristband got something on it or whatever it was, but there was we got that fixed pretty quickly.
What could the wristband get on it? It's laminated, right?
What could have happened?
They didn't forget to laminate it, and it got smudged.
What could have happened? So those are two different things here. Okay,
well,
let's
it's in a plastic pocket. So whether you laminate it or not,
did something get in between?
Let's go right to the source here. Here's Shador Sanders in the post game. Well, we don't have Sanders. Okay, we'll get that here.
I mean,
in
it
a
just
second.
made no sense from the moment that she started talking about it.
All right, here's Shador.
On TV, they mentioned that something happened with your wristband after the first two drives.
Oh, no, the car just fell out. Yeah, it just fell out on the sideline. Yeah, that was it.
So his wristband.
Did the card fall out and then it got smudged and then they put it back in and he couldn't read it?
What is this?
Is that what happened?
This is stupid.
I've never heard this before.
This is dumb. This is stupid.
They've been laminating cards for the better part of 30 years. They've been doing this.
What's
this is not some newfangled technology.
This is stupid.
And I've never heard this before.
This is the dumbest thing ever. You guys can't get your story straight on any of this crap. You guys can't do any. I'll believe him because he don't know any better and there's no reason for him to lie. So I guess the card fell out. I don't know what Kevin decided to say. I have no idea why he said that. But of course, it's par for the course of everything else that's happened. Because remember, let's go back to the Wyatt Teller thing. Well, he said it was performance. Well, then they said it was injury. Well, the injury happened to happen at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, towards the end of the game with Wyatt Teller. But there was that big whole thing. So we don't even know our stories anymore. So if you're just covering for things, then just everybody's got to go. That's it. I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, I mean, my God. I mean, we have an excuse for everything here. That's all we are. It's a Super Bowl of excuses for this team. I hear it. Bubba Ventrone on the Thursday press conferences. Is it Thursday? I don't give a damn what day it is anymore. It doesn't even sound the same. Everything sounds the same. Well, you know, we only have the back half of the roster. We got these last 21 guys. I don't know. Tennessee had the back half of the roster, and they're the ones that were able to block your punt. And we all thought that they were worse than you. Oh, well, how good are the Jets? How good are the Jets? What happened in the Jets game? One of the other worst teams in the NFL. What happened on special teams there? It's nothing but excuses, one after another. And I'm watching, I'm going, man, how's he supposed to do anything with his offensive line? Because you got Zach Zinter, who was a third-round pick that's not going to play for you. Jack Conklin ain't walking back on the field. That's it. I got Joel Bitonio. I feel bad for Joel. I feel bad for him. And I shouldn't, because he's going to make a bunch of money. And he's a really, really, really good player and a good guy. And I'm sure he doesn't feel bad for himself. But I'm watching him on the one interception. You're trying to... He looked like Kevin Bacon trying to tell everybody to calm down as he's trying to make a tackle on the one pick. And I'm going, this is just utterly ridiculous in every single sense. And all this team, it's nothing but 2025, the team of excuses. Everything is an excuse. And really, that's been the way it's been since 2020. I'm tired of it. I am. I am sick and tired of it. We had a couple of good runs. I got a bunch of excuses. You tried something big. It didn't work. That's it. You guys want to call and want everybody gone. I ain't going to get in the way of any of it. I'm sick and tired of it. This QB wristband, this doesn't happen.
I've never seen it.
It's so stupid. It's just dumb. It's bad football, and you shouldn't accept it.
Has anybody even seen that on the high school sidelines?
Jesus.
Is there a high school coach that's even middle school? Can we go down to middle school?
You wouldn't accept that at Streetsboro West Jaga High School.
I was miffed.
Who's the coach of West Jaga, the guy that don't like me? He wouldn't accept something like that. Pete Thompson ain't going to accept something like that. And we're going to accept something. Well, you know, there was what? No. Yes. Well, what was it, Kev? What was it? Was there a problem with the wristband or was there not a problem with the wristband? Get your story straight. But when we have to come up with stories, see, that's the problem. We're not even good at that. But we are technically better at coming up with stories and excuses than we are with winning football games. So that's it. That's it. So I'm mad that I think about it, but in the overall scheme of things, I don't. It's a wasted year. It's another wasted part of your day. It's another wasted a segment of our lives, and we'll just move on with it. Hopefully, in 3 weeks, and that'll be the end of it. Get rid of them after today. Don't get rid of them. Doesn't matter. I have the same feeling I have right now. It's a cavalcade of errors, one after another. Wristband. I'm going to spend 4 hours talking about a wristband.
I don't think
what happened? No.
I think there were a bunch of other things you could point to.
Don't lower yourself. I'm not lowering myself. You want to call up and ask where will we? Maybe he fell in. Maybe did they leave it in the box? Did they leave it in a pocket? Did he turn it around the other way? What did we do with the card? Was it written on the proper index card? Was it printed on the proper index card? Well, what was it? What did it look like? Did he grab the wrong QB wristband? Did he accidentally grab Deshaun Watson or Bailey Zappi's or Dylan Gabriel's? Well, it couldn't have been Dylan Gabriel's because Dylan Gabriel has a smaller arm than him. So obviously it could have been Dylan Gabriel. So I guess you could. No, I'm not. We're not doing Dick Tracy and Fat Lock and all the other things to figure out about a QB wrist card.
You didn't add
that
the last part.
That summarizes everything.
You didn't add the last part to it. Did they sabotage? Did they intentionally screw up his card?
No, they are.
Because that would actually be a competent maneuver.
They are.
If you think about it, they'd have to actually all get together and pull that off, which would take competence.
That is what it is.
It'd be nefarious and sinister, but it'd take competence.
That's where the sabotage is. It's just incompetence.
They're not smart enough to sabotage.
That's why Shador was wrong. And Shador should have wanted to go to the Ravens. Who is the other team? Who is the other team that's kicking it
Eagles.
Around?
Eagles. Yeah.
He should have wanted to go to the Ravens or the Eagles because those teams don't do that. They don't do that. Look at the example 2 hours down the road. I mean, Ryan Day was ready for a communications issue on the sideline in the game against Michigan.
Yeah, when their comms got shut down in the second half.
They go over everything. Everything is gone over. They are obsessed with their... And by the way, you know this. Ryan Day don't just do that against Michigan. He does that against Illinois. He would do that against Grambling. Yeah. It is a psychotic obsession with winning and getting the very best. And we can't even get the right play card on the quarterback wristband? We allow this to go on? No. This is stupid. This whole thing. Any argument I've ever made this year on their behalf is stupid. This is just dumb. And anybody who can't see it, they can't be alive. Because anybody who's alive is seeing this. Good God. So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to not get my feelings hurt, but this is sad. It's sad. We got two bright spots out of this. Maybe a couple. That's fine. It don't matter. Whatever. They say whatever on the season. They walked out there. I mean, they act like they had to clock in, and they were hoping for a day off, and they just were waiting on the clock to end, waiting to get back in the locker room where it was warm. That's it.
I kind of thought that from almost the first play of the game, the defense. I think the defense didn't want to be there at all.
I think any of them wanted to be there.
They were just missing tackles. They were the assignments. It was pretty obvious. They didn't understand what they were going up against with the Bears. The running game for the Bears. They were slicing and dicing us. That's why I said I couldn't believe it was only 14-0 at the half. Yeah,
so
it was very one sided.
There was no point in that game I thought they would make a comeback and win.
No.
Not once. Not a chance. When it was 14-3, Kevin Cougar was doing his best to put on a good show, a good entertaining show.
No, the whole...
And he said, and he goes, oh, you know, if you're in the stadium right now, you got to be wondering, 14-3, you're going to let these guys back in? And go, they ain't letting nothing back in because the other guys don't want to get back into it. Because we can't, I'm writing about wristbands. In week 15... And then did you watch the game? They went into the break or they went to the game breaks where they go and they show the other highlights. And he goes, is it Carissa Thompson who does the game breaks? Whoever the woman, I think it's Carissa Thompson. He goes, we got to get another game break. And she's like, as many as you need, because they all know it sucks. They all know the game sucks.
Oh, where the broadcasters are secretly jealous of the other broadcasters that are doing better games?
How could you not be? Don't you feel that? No offense to you. Don't you feel that way when you're doing some of those games? And you got to sit there with guys eating their breakfast, calling another blowout at the beginning of the season, and you're going, oh, there's much better games there. And I know I'm not ripping you, man. I'm not doing it. But it's just the honest fact of the matter here. That's all. It's the honest fact. Nobody in the stadium really wanted to be there. They all had to be there because they were supposed to be there, or they were Bears fans and they were seeing their team do well. And so that was it. But you notice after the third quarter, like, nobody else was in the stands.
No.
Everybody had got out of there, including half the Browns wanted to get out of there. So I'm done. This is just done. To argue about this is a giant kick in the ass, waste of time, and I've embarrassed myself this entire time. And if you want him gone, fine. It's best for everybody. I keep hearing there's reports, he might get picked up by the Giants. Good. Enjoy him. Enjoy him in Tennessee or New York or Timbuktu or Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon. It don't matter to me, Tone. It don't matter to me anymore. Because all this just has to end. This whole thing needs to be separated. If you can't get wristbands right, and we're doing wristband gate, we've all lost the plot, especially them. It's all gone. Get rid of it. Let's all move forward together. But separately, obviously. I'm talking about Browns fans. I'm not talking about them. 216-474-0092. Browns quit yesterday. I don't know how anybody could disagree.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Yeah, it's good old-fashioned Browns Therapy Monday. They lose to the Bears yesterday 31-3. 3-11, they are 1-6 away from home. Bears move to 10-4. Big game next week against the Packers, 5-1 at home. They knew what they needed to do yesterday. There was a lot of talk yesterday or going into the week in Chicago that this might be a trap game for them. That they were worried because, you know, you're in between. They got the pack, what, twice in 14 days. And so, you know, they're sitting there, they're trying to win the NFC North, and they're right there knocking on the door, and there was some concern in Chicago yesterday. I didn't see a whole lot of concern. Man, that team knows how to take the ball away. We'll see what they do against Packers again next week. Because you wonder, you want to go, wow, they were really good, but then you want to go, yeah, you know what, we're really bad. So yeah, I don't know if you can judge
that. They were 5-12 last year.
Yeah.
They've turned it around. They've done a very nice job. And now they're 10-4.
Yep. We talked to their play-by-play guy on the pregame show yesterday, and he was just talking about how coaching makes all the difference in the world on this team, on how they've just been able to flip it around.
And they've won 6 of 7 and 10 of 12.
Man,
way to get her done.
I'd love to be in that spot.
Good job, Ben Johnson.
And then you wonder, can the Browns be in that spot? You know, next year, there's been points where you've looked at the defense and said, okay, you don't really have to mess with the defense. I think, and think about all the guys that are still out. I want to sit here and blame it on that, but I can't. I just, you know, the whole the play card thing on Shadur's wrist. It's just like it's one thing after another with this, and it just feels. I just need something to hang my hat on. I need something to move forward with, and I think, you know, I think we kind of think Shadur is the answer. At least he's the answer today for trying to look for positively a little bit.
I think we're still trying to figure that out.
I'm having a lot of trouble judging him for yesterday's game.
Absolutely,
he had nothing yesterday. Nothing
Absolutely.
To work with.
But he also didn't help them rise above that. I mean, that's, if you're the quarterback, your job is to help everybody else be better. But he didn't have much around him. I couldn't agree more. I think it's really hard to evaluate what he did yesterday. I think it's hard to evaluate the running game. You know, the offensive line was not good yesterday. It was beat up. That's a problem.
I think they were down, what? They were down 14-0. Probably should have been 21-0.
It was only 14-0 at halftime.
You know, or I'll say 17-0. Probably should have been
17-3. You know, in the third quarter.
The defense did a nice job of holding them when they were up 14, and then they missed that field goal. And then, then Shador finds Isaiah Bond. Something's going on there that I like. You know, those two have been able to find each other in big
plays. I'm going
to
run really far, really fast, throw it up in the air.
I'll take it.
Exactly.
I'll take it. Exactly. I was watching the Rams yesterday, and it was
nothing
like,
wrong with that.
I'm watching the Rams play yesterday. I'm like, man, their receivers know where everything's going. Everything looks, you know, with precision.
Andy, you know what they have?
Wide receivers?
An abundance of skill position talent.
Yeah.
An abundance.
That's the other part. You can't watch another team after watching the Browns. It's like, I don't know. It's like having money to go to one of those less than 60 cent stores and then trying to go to Saks Fifth Avenue, trying to buy stuff. It's just hard. It is hard. And, you know, I got a text yesterday, Jeff, and it said, that's our franchise quarterback. After, you know, we were down and then he found Bond on that play. And I'm not being negative. I hate the whole notion of franchise quarterback. It drives me nuts because one, when you're talking about a rookie, it's undue pressure. Two, it's like, how do you know when a guy's a franchise quarterback, right? Is Patrick Mahomes, who's out now, probably out for next year, he's a franchise quarterback.
Maybe part of next year.
All right. So, but you look at it and you're like, do you have to be on the field to be a franchise quarterback, right?
Well, in theory,
we thought at one point Deshaun Watson was a franchise quarterback too, right?
Well, that was the idea.
Yeah. How'd that work for you?
If you want to qualify them as a franchise quarterback, they're probably only 6 or 7, 8 in the league. How about a starting quarterback who can help us win games? Thursday night, you know who looked really good? Kirk Cousins. Okay. I mean, how about just some really competent quarterback play? That's really all the teams need. If you have a pretty good team and you get competent quarterback play, you can win football games.
And by the way, I could live my entire life knowing I fulfilled my destiny, having the money that Kirk Cousins should have in the bank, and not being called a franchise quarterback.
Should be everybody's favorite. And anybody who wants to win the lottery, Kirk Cousins is your idol.
Yes, he is. All right, let's go to the phone lines. It is a Browns Therapy Monday. Browns lose 31-3. Get it off your chest. We start with our friend Jack, the counselor in Solon. Hi, Jack.
Jack?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So let me fast forward to the 1 o'clock press conference. We need to play better. We need to coach better. So you don't have to run that.
God, you just made Menigan's day. You made his day.
Because that's what he's going to say. That's what he always says, blah, blah, blah.
Jack, you left out. We'll get it fixed. Remember that one.
Oh, yeah, you did forget that.
Valid.
You know, what really hurts is when you watch every other game and all the teams, even kind of the bad ones, are competent at what they do. I mean, from the kickoff on, and then we had, three penalties after that, Kevin Stefanski has to go, and here's why. We have probably the historically worst offense of all time. We scored 3 points yesterday, okay? So let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that we're tanking, which I think we are. And why are we tanking? Because we want Mendoza. But then what's the plan? We're going to move up. We're going to trade the Raiders whatever they want for him. And then what?
The Raiders want him, though. If the Raiders want him, why would they trade?
Well, because we're going to give them an offer that they can't refuse. But let's just say we get Mendoza and we trade everything we have to get him. Then what? We still have no offensive line. We still have no receivers. So if we are tanking and we're doing it in the most ugly way, what is the plan? What if we are tanking to get Mendoza? Is the plan?
I don't think they are, by the way.
What are they doing then?
They're not very good.
It's not Shador.
That's what they're doing. They're not very good. I think what you just said is a bad idea, Jack, and I think you think it's a bad idea. Trading a bunch of assets to move up for a quarterback. If you drop a quarterback into this team and you've traded away other assets to help build the team, he's not going to have success.
We've been there, done that.
Exactly.
It was a disaster.
Exactly. So what I think they're going to end up doing, they're going to build the rest of the team, and they're going to play somebody at quarterback. And that somebody might be here, and that somebody might be somebody you sign in free agency. Mac Jones might need a gig. You could trade for Mac Jones. You could play Kirk Cousins. You could drop somebody in here and have him play quarterback and kick that down the road for a year. Get your guy in 2027.
Let me make one last point about Shadur.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's a young man. He does have some skills, but he can't be your franchise quarterback. And I'll tell you why. He's not the brightest bulb. And you need a quarterback that has a head on his shoulders, that can be a leader and knows what he's doing and doesn't have to look down he took a penalty, for too much time while coming out of a break or whatever. He's not the answer. Okay?
Is that him or is that the coach has got to realize what's going on and to call either a timeout? I don't know. I mean, here's the one thing. I know where what you might be kicking. I think we do need to respect the fact that he's a rookie at some point too. And things. I know Brian Hoyer had texted. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it. That Brian Hoyer, that the play chart or the play
card
thing happens more often than you think. I think you got to go the extra mile when you're with a rookie. Like if you're a veteran, but we didn't have very many veterans on the field yesterday, or at least guys that might. It seems like they figured it out pretty quick that he had the wrong card there. Can you get the ball down the field? That's what we're looking for. I'm looking for somebody who can make plays. And I'm not that line about saying that he might not be the bright. I could say that for every rookie in the league. Every rookie in the league has got to learn at some point. There are things they just don't know coming out of college. So I'm not going to say that about him. The kid's got electricity. He's not, he's got to learn. That's all there is to it. No one expected you to get your degree the day you walked into kindergarten. And sometimes that's the way you got to play it out.
I'm he's plenty intelligent to be a successful quarterback in the NFL.
And by the way, Jeff,
are other guys in the league.
Here's another one.
That's not the issue.
Jeff, tell me something unique about selling carpet. Tell me something unique that no one would know. I'm just asking you because I know that's what your dad did, right?
That's true.
I'm sure you know something about carpet that I have no idea about or that the average person doesn't. Why? It's not like you went in the same business. But by osmosis, there are things I know about electricity that
spend
I probably shouldn't know.
Time working in it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll tell you what, you get your hands all messed up because the backing on that stuff is harsh.
See, now how did you learn? But you did. You never sold carpet, but you know that, right?
I helped install it.
I think there's osmosis when you live with somebody who's been a professional football player for your whole life. Just like, you want to sit here and we can discuss the merits of Romex. Let's go do it. Let's have some fun. How about
it? Gentlemen, a little bit of news before you get farther. The Jets have announced their head coach, Aaron Glenn, has relieved defensive coordinator Steve Wilks of his duty, according to multiple reports. Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator of the Jets, has been fired.
Former Browns DC.
Do you want him? 216-474-0092.
Because all the problems in New York have to deal with Steve Wilks.
Are we surprised the Browns haven't made a single move? Not one single move through the season. Is that surprising?
Yes.
I'll say yes, and this goes back to what we talked about in the first segment, Andy. It's this. At the end of the season, are they just gonna make changes? Is there going to be a big announcement after the game, against Cincinnati? Or are they going to just leave everybody in place and say, it's not on them, it's on us because we insisted on Deshaun? Even if ownership insisted on Deshaun, general manager, coaches haven't risen above a bad decision. And NFL teams make bad decisions all the time. All the time. And coaches have to, GMs have to rise above them. That has not happened here. That's the issue to me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We react to a craptastic Sunday in Chicago. Hi, JP.
Hello. Yeah, yesterday sucked.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. Yesterday sucked. And we are now back to revisiting all the different penalties you can have in a game. They're getting, all of a sudden play clocks are winding down and then passing zero on kickoff play. Like, it's just a combination of suck.
Man, I'm just so glad that we've just coached our way out of special teams problems.
I mean, it never ends. And Duvernay seemed like he was the world's greatest returner I've ever seen. What the hell was that about?
He was guaranteed to get to the 40 and then some every kick.
When it rains, it pours, but that will go down as one of those very forgettable Browns games, but also one of those games where it's just like, how do they get worse? How does this continue to look worse? How do they always seem to one-up the idea that they can't possibly fall on the sword this many times, and they just continue to do it?
Yeah, it's funny. I think that there are people that might have checked out yesterday. And no, I'm not just talking about the Cleveland Browns and their coaching staff. I'm talking about Browns fans.
Yeah, because the team looked like they checked out, too.
It felt like as the game went on, there was a lot of anger. I saw a lot of anger on those social media streets. But I also saw a lot of, well, the Browns have checked out, so why am I here? I think, to me, for Kevin Stefanski, who I've already fired, by the way. I've already said that. I can't double down or triple down on his firing, although fire Kevin Stefanski. So to me, what yesterday represented was the basic premise that Kevin had to show me. Kevin had a chance to prove me wrong. My whole biggest issue with Kevin was not who calls plays, who doesn't. It's not, did he order the code red on Baker Mayfield? Did he single-handedly set up the Deshaun trade or not? My whole point with Kevin is he is only as good as the talent that he has.
Right.
And that's because of his leadership style. He's not a leader. He is effectively the offensive version of Joe Woods. Joe Woods could not be bothered to establish like relationships with his players on defense because he just wanted to be watching film and scheming things up.
And then you wondered how Andrew Sandejo happened.
But this is what Kevin is. So he had a chance, though, to prove me wrong in these final four games of the season. Don't lose the team. Don't get embarrassed. Play through the final whistle. And yesterday, there were about seven guys on that team playing to the final whistle, one of which is going to take an incredible amount of crap this week from fans and from people who just don't like the guy anyways. And that would be Shedeur Sanders. We'll get to his performance right now. Or we'll get to his performance today, obviously. But the point is, when you cannot even be bothered to lead your guys or communicate, or honestly, just answer for your insane failure. Like, we can't get a wristband right with a quarterback, that even dudes who've been covering this game for 30 years are mystified that happened.
Well, what was that answer to, by the way? That was like, he said no, and then yes, and then yes, and then like they had to follow it up. I think he thought that was going to be sufficient. Saying no and then yes twice was a sufficient answer for what happened on that. The whole thing was a joke. The whole thing absolutely stunk. Stefanski, this puts to bed any sort of how much credit does Stefanski get conversation, by the way. Notice those people are awfully quiet after a game like that. Like, it's just, it's embarrassing. The whole thing is embarrassing.
Yeah, and here, what the ultimate embarrassment is, I no longer think Kevin Stefanski is fit to coach this team the rest of the way. With three games, and I do think things matter. I think
if you were the person that was like, hey, he's got to be there for continuity's sake. Yes. He's got to be there because, look, he's helping out Shedeur, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. Hogwash. All that, miss me on that stuff.
Yeah, and you can't tell me that Kevin Stefanski's representatives putting it out there about how hot of a candidate he's going to be if he gets fired here. You can't tell me that's not a part of what we saw yesterday.
He's hurting way more than he's helping right now.
So we got checked out, Kevin, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care that much about the wristband thing. Do I think it was a factor? Yes. Do I think field position and the ever I mean, this ongoing cluster, you know what, that is this special teams unit. Is that the bigger issue? Yeah. They started at the two. Then there were two dumb penalties that took them from the two to the half yard mark. No one can succeed like that, but I can deal with all of that. But here's the thing that Kevin Stefanski hasn't learned in 7 years. Or sorry, 6 years. Don't want to give him too much credit. But here's the thing he hasn't learned. When you're good, you give me every cliche you got. You lie to my face and tell me that I'm dumb. Do it as much as you want. But when you are bad, and specifically, when you are league worst bad for 2 years in a row,
no.
Have an answer, dog.
He's not going to have an answer, Nick. That's not who he is. He has been, at least I'll say this, he's been consistent with the idea that he wants to give us absolutely nothing. It wears thin when you're winning. It wears thin when you're losing in a major way, though. Well, and this is all we're seeing.
Hey, guys, he grew up with WIP.
He doesn't care.
He knows. He knows again, how to. He's not going to get got by
he
us.
He doesn't care. That's the whole part of this. The big slap in the face the entire time. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that he doesn't give any answers. He knows what he can and what he has to answer for there, and he doesn't. In his mind, he doesn't have to give us anything, and so he doesn't. He consistently doesn't. But then he can't turn around and wonder why people aren't on his side right now.
There are valid reasons why that game was not going to end up being a win. Valid reasons. I'd love to just accept and say we're on to Buffalo, right? Would love to. Cannot. Because the truth is, players don't lose their jobs despite repeated mistakes. Coaches don't lose their jobs despite repeated mistakes. Executives don't lose their job despite the worst trade in the NFL, in NFL history, and bringing in character risks that immediately prove they shouldn't have been brought in here. Accountability is a real thing. And this Ivy League crap, and I'll be honest with you, it doesn't seem to happen in Major League Baseball. But this ethos, this corporate crap that people bring in here of, well, no one's really accountable because we're all accountable, right? We all have our individual jobs, and it is so much easier. Kumbaya crap. No, there is no accountability here. And it does start absolutely at the top, but I can't fire Jimmy Haslam. All right? I will be dealing with iterations of Haslams probably till the day I die. But I can fire a head coach who can't explain a simple mishap with a wrist card, who comes out and coaches like he's from a freaking coma. I can fire that guy. And the fact that he isn't fired today is absolutely another notch in the belt of Mr. Accountability Jimmy Haslam.
All right. Did it feel good?
Felt pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only so many weeks in a row we can come in here yelling about firing Stefanski.
Yeah, but now I'm firing Stefanski today.
Is that it? It's where I kind of like it. No part of this is, this isn't brand new territory. We're hardly discovering new land. It's like they find a new low. We yell about the new low. We get angry about the new low. But the reality is that there's no cleaning this up the rest of this season. And the change that has to happen will take place this offseason. And then we're going to gear up and we're going to have to go from there. But in the meanwhile, you do. You get slapped in the face a little bit. And that just is what it is.
I understand why you're saying what you're saying. The final three games matter. There are players playing for something, and I'd like it if it was the majority of the roster playing for something.
But that's the sad part, though, is that the majority of the roster didn't seem like they were playing for something on Sunday.
I don't know if I'd go the majority. It just wasn't enough guys to win.
There was a lot of players that weren't. Like, I watched that Bengals game, too. It was going on at the same time. Bengals looked like there weren't nearly enough players. Like, this is the time of the year where a lot of players do. They just seem like they check out. Frigid cold temperatures, everything that was associated with that game. Like, the Bears came out and looked like they needed that game. That was a 40% swing in their playoff chances. They needed that game. They were playing way harder than the Browns were.
Yeah, and it's just like, even, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not here to pile on Jerry Jeudy. We'll get to his answer at some point. Jerry Jeudy took 7 points off the board with yet another Jerry Jeudy play. And I believe he played about 90% of the snaps yesterday. Oh, okay, accountability. And here's the thing. I don't know, and this is the I don't know, I can't prove it definitively. I don't know that if I made Jim Schwartz the interim head coach today, or just anybody, you could make it Larry in accounting for all I care. I don't know that all of a sudden the team would start playing hard the final three games of the season.
Right.
I just know they're not going to play hard the final three games of the season with Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. And if you can spare me three games of, well, we got to coach better, we got to play better, all the while your team is giving up and has visions of Cabo dancing in their head, would that make me a little happier to see if something could spark this team? When I say spark the team, I'm not talking. Listen, we normalize a lot in this town. I can't normalize not competing. I can't. and Kevin Stefanski's Cleveland Browns for 2025 have not competed consistently. And that is 100% at the feet of Kevin Stefanski.
Well, they put themselves behind the eight ball so often. I mean, like, we're going to talk about that first drive, and with good reason. We already mentioned the two penalties that happened. I mean, before you'd done anything, you were trailing in the game, and then your offense gets the ball, and you're just set behind the eight ball. Like, you had no chance, but it's these penalties that continue just to kill them. Then you really had no run game yesterday either. That's another component to all this, because you're starting four backup offensive linemen. So you have no run game. Your quarterback didn't look particularly good. Whether that's his fault or not, we can discuss a little bit later on. And it just kind of felt like you had nothing. Nothing was going on. And like, Stefanski was out of answers, and he knows it.
Yeah, and I think what is frustrating is there were guys making plays. Carson Schwechinger continues to be fantastic. Miles made a couple plays yesterday on top of the 1.5 sacks that he had. I understand that Denzel wasn't out there. I understand.
Right, that's another thing. You're missing seven different guys.
And
seven starters are out.
Seven guys that matter. I really do. I understand. You didn't have competitive fight. There was one guy. I don't want to say one guy. There was maybe 10 guys yesterday that had a competitive fight.
Well, and
that's back on the head coach.
We fought about the idea before the season if you could be a competitive 3-win team or not, because I said a competitive 3-win team doesn't exist, but that's what you wanted. You wanted them to be a competitive 3-win team, at least look like they were competitive while winning three games. They have not lived up to that at all.
216-474-0092. As we start the show here, was that the final straw for Stefanski? I didn't think I'd get to a point where I'd want him fired in season, but again, let's just run out the string, right? But why try and evaluate anybody? Because you can't evaluate. There's no one you can evaluate when guys aren't playing hard enough. And it's not even that. I hate putting it on that, because that puts it on the players. No, when guys do not have the competitive fire and guys don't look like they're playing for anyone, let alone their futures, but certainly not the head coach. But was that the final straw for Stefanski?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.